Please stand to hear the word of the Lord. Reading this morning first from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, this is the word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then also in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, starting at verse 1, then I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, nor crying, nor neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Thus far the word of the Lord, may he bless it to us all. You may be seated. Well, at last, it's Christmas Eve, and tomorrow is the big day. Christmas is a really great time because you get together with family and friends. Many times, people that you haven't seen for a long time, people travel in the holidays and so on. You eat good food and you give gifts. And it's fun to watch people's expressions as they open their gifts. Their surprise and their delight, or maybe their bewilderment. What is it? We do this. We get together and we exchange gifts in order to remember and to celebrate God's great gift to mankind, as we see it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's really what the Christmas celebration is all about and why we give gifts at Christmas. But, you know, in these times, for people maybe under 50 or so, that might be a surprise that the custom of giving gifts is a remembrance and a celebration of God's great gift, because many people under 50 have never heard such a thing before. For them, Christmas is just a custom, something you do at this time of the year. We say, remember to keep Christ in Christmas. For many people, they might actually wonder, what does Christ have to do with Christmas? Can't take any of that for granted anymore. And so one way to remember and to testify is to focus on two names that are given to the baby born at Christmas that are highlighted in this text, the name Jesus and the name Emmanuel. The first name mentioned in verses 20 to 21, where the angelic messenger said to Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That name means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves. It speaks of God being for us. God is for us. That's a good thing to remember. God is for you. And that's a good thing to bear witness of, because a lot of people don't know that to the extent they think of God. He's just far away and he's out there someplace. Or maybe God isn't even aware of us. He's just some kind of a force, a higher power. And it's very easy for us to forget that the real God, the true God, the personal God, is not just there. He is actively for us. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's why God gave his son. Mary, who is a virgin betrothed to be married to Joseph, is going to have a baby. But here she is pregnant before the marriage, so Joseph is going to call it off. But God sends an angel to explain what's going on, that Mary has not been faithful. On the contrary, God has chosen her to bear a son conceived by the Holy Spirit to be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What sins are those? There are sins against God. Because in his essential being and nature, God is love. Forever and ever before God ever created anything, he was a loving, life-giving father to his son in the love bond of the Holy Spirit. And forever and ever before God ever created anything, the son loved and honored and obeyed the father in the love bond of the Holy Spirit. So the very nature of God is self-giving love. That's why he created us, to love us and to fill us with his own glory, so that we might image him by loving one another and by loving and caring for the world and the creatures that God has made. And so that was our true nature as created, like God, so like his image, self-giving love. But something has seriously gone wrong with us. Our love took a U-turn back to ourselves, so that what was supposed to be other-oriented, self-giving love is turned into self-centered, selfish love. Oftentimes, when we express love to other people, it's really rooted in something we want from them. Oftentimes enough, we think that we are doing something out of love, and then we get a little further down the road and we see a little more deeply into our own souls and we find, alas, actually, it was much more self-centered than I imagined that it was. We need help. And it's the help that only the self-giving, loving God can give to us. It's a help that raises us from being spiritually dead to newness of life. And that's what that baby's birth is all about. That's what every baby's birth is all about, new life. But especially this baby called Jesus, the Lord is salvation. That's why it's such good news. He brings new life and his life to the world, because he became human in order to save his people from their sins. Despite the fact that human nature has changed from self-giving love to self-centered love, God's loving, self-giving nature has not changed. That's why he gave his only son, to take away our sins our shame and our guilt and our punishment by taking it upon himself so that we may be forgiven and cleansed and renewed. And that brings us to the second name, Emmanuel, which is mentioned in verses 22 and 23. All this took place, that is, the virgin conception by the Holy Spirit and the birth of Jesus, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the second main feature of the Christmas story, which is the gospel story. God is for us, and God is for us so that he can be with us. God is for us so that he can be with us. God doesn't just save us from our sins, from the judgment and penalty of our sins, then and say, that's all there is, folks. No, God saves us to be with us. And that speaks of God's initiative. He seeks us out. He comes for us. Christmas is a great reminder, therefore, of why God created us in the first place. To be with us and to bless us and to enjoy us and to raise us up in his love to be with and bless and enjoy each other. And to glorify and enjoy God forever, as our shorter and larger catechisms teach us. Christmas reminds us that God sent Jesus for us so that he can be with us. That's why Jesus takes away our sins, so that the Holy God, the God of self-giving love, can be with us again, so that we can have fellowship and fullness of life with him. The community of people where this takes place, where this reconciling love of Jesus Emmanuel is believed, received, and shared together, is called the church. And because of God's gift of his Son and of his Spirit, we are united to God and to one another in Jesus and in the Spirit, so that we're bound into God's community of love, which participates in his love. In this way, God restores us to the true image in which he created us. So John says in 1 John 4:10-11, and this is love. And he points, first of all, to God's love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's the gospel applied not only to us, but also through us. God not only for us, but God with us. In this glorious community, the church is described very beautifully in that passage from Revelation 21. The vision of this bride of the Lord, this heavenly city coming down out of heaven from God, being prepared as a bride. And John heard a loud voice from the throne saying, three times this is accented, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. That's the first time. He will dwell with them. That's the second time. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. That's the third time. You think he's trying to make a point? God is for us so that God can be with us, so that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Because this God who brought new life into the world, this God who brought new life to the world in Jesus Christ, is making all things new. He says, write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now, this God is what he's after in the gospel. He pursues us in love, according to His original purpose for us, to lavish His love and His blessings upon us, to fill us and to enjoy us, so that we may belong to Him and glorify and enjoy Him as our God forever together. And that's what we are, should be all about as restored and renewed in His image. We should be eager to share His love with people around us. You know, Christmas is a great time for that. Christmas is such a happy time, depending on your circumstance. But it's also a time when many, many people are very lonely and very blue. This is a time where especially we should be alert and to be ready to just be a friend, to be with people, to be for them and to be with them. Isn't that what it means to image the God who is for us so that He can be with us? You know, I think it was very wise of the early church to implement in the early centuries the annual celebration, remembrance of the birth of Jesus Christ. And they saw it as a way to witness to the culture of their day. They designed it to be at the same time as a particular pagan festival was held. This is the Christian alternative, because it's based on who the real true God, the God that we know, the God who has revealed Himself to us, on what He's like, the God who is for us, so that He can be with us, imaging Him. We want to be there for people. We want to be there with them in their time of need, to lift them up and to encourage them. So Christmas is also a really good opportunity for a new beginning for us. You know, it's interesting that Christmas comes at the end of the civil year, you know, when you're all worn out. Oftentimes, by the time I get to Christmas, I'm even more dazed and you know, than I normally am. You know, but Christmas is also the beginning of the Christian year, the Christian calendar. I think that's a marvelous providence, because Christmas is all about new beginnings. It's a great reminder of why we are here, just as God is the God who is for us, to be with us. Well, we are here for the world and to be with the world in witness and in service. May our Lord bless you richly as you remember these things, as you celebrate Christmas together. Let's respond to these applications of the Word by offering ourselves.